You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey everyone, my name is Chris Lambert. On this channel, we talk Kanye West, and we just made a video going over all of these Instagram posts Ye made today, but one of them is this speech he made to, I think, Gap executives, and we didn't get to listen to the whole thing. It's a longer video, but this is the video where we listen to it and have some responses. So I'm going to hit play, and we're going to sit here and hear what Ye has to say.
Is Sparta. This is not celebrity marketing.
So he starts off by saying, this is Sparta. You know, good old 300. And he says, this isn't celebrity marketing. And one of the things to note, these photos on the wall are from the Yeezy Shades photo shoots that just happened in the last couple weeks. So this is a meeting that took place in August of 2022 and might have even taken place today or before he posted it. I'm not quite sure on the timing, but it's at least within the last couple weeks.
This is not a collaboration. This is a life mission. I didn't understand why I love Louis until I learned about Marc Jacobs. I didn't understand why I love Gucci until I learned about Tom Ford. I didn't understand why I love Ralph Lauren until I learned about Ralph Lipschitz. I didn't understand why I love Gap until I learned about Mickey. Me and Matt George brought season 6 and show Mickey.
So he's talking about the connection between the designers and the clothes and saying just when you know who the designers are, when you know who the people behind the product are, it elevates the connection or relationship you have to the product. So it's one thing to really like what Ralph Lauren looks like. It's another thing when you learn about Ralph Lipschitz and everything he went through to make the clothes and what it means to be owning a piece from Ralph Lauren, right?
Half the stuff in this response is, oh, it's too good. So I'm not overly pleased, Terry, back, this, that, something that can hit that Old Navy price with the cut. And we go and we do TV commercials.
It's talking about when they made season 6, I think what he's saying is that it was too expensive. And it was too good, right? The quality was too good and the price points were just not feasible. I think that's what he's saying. I may have to listen to it a couple more times, but he then transitions into wanting to have that mix of an Old Navy price, and Gap owns Old Navy. So it's not like he's talking to Gap people and being like, Old Navy, and they're like, it's like your brand Old Navy that has this price point. We want it to have the cut of something that's really high quality. Right, that level of tailoring, that level of fashion, but at a price point people can easily buy, which is a conversation that a lot of fans have been having over the years, of especially like Yeezy Gap Engineer by Balenciaga. You see people's like $140 for a shirt. What Ye said he wanted to have prices people could afford, but it's also a Balenciaga shirt that's $140, where you look at Balenciaga prices and they're like $800 for a shirt, $1,000 for a shirt. So if you're knocking down Balenciaga prices by 90%, that is a win. It's just still so much more expensive than other things in the Gap. So you have some people that are seeing the glass half full, some people that are seeing the glass half empty, but clearly Ye is still on a mission to get prices down to what he thinks they should be.
And we open up that store, we look at those stores, and we go through those racks and look at that product, whatever, and put that other shit in the outlet. And put their shit in the front. You have every single Gap store, and let's go check the JCPenney stores while we're at it.
So he's talking about the plan that they should have, this business strategy they should be having, in that you get these clothes that are immaculately designed, not just like the look of them, but the cut of them, the make of them, with these price points that people can afford. and you make commercials, right? You promote it, you get them in the stores, you get the stuff that you have been selling that hasn't been working out of the stores, throw that all to the outlets, the discounts, right? And then you take over when you promote this stuff and people are coming in and seeing it and seeing how good it looks, seeing how good it feels and wears. And then you start buying everything else, right? You're not getting taken over. You're the one buying JCPenney, or you're getting it in JCPenney, something with JCPenney, but it's leveling up is the key idea here.
That fully foam, bossy floor, the kids are putting on the hoodies and these beautiful wash, like vintage beach colors with the doves in the back, and just take over the globe. You gotta have the strongest team possible. We will hire the best fabric. We will get cotton. We will order
I think he said we'll hire the best fabric.
We will empower, we will make a new workforce straight from the schools and reinvigorate American, the American industry. This country is based off the industry, and with us collectively, we all have a responsibility to bring it back.
So he's talking here about the idea of production. And you're going to have these high quality materials, but also people that know how to make them, render them, how to turn them into high quality product. And that you're going to have kids right out of school who are learning how to do these things and want to do them, essentially like high quality trade skills, right? And right now we're at a point in American education where trade is really looked down upon. If you go from the high school off to the trade school, you're some reject. Haha, you went to the trade school, rather than somebody that's just going to get a skill and go into a career that is necessary and needed. We need tradespeople. This can't just be like a fully intellectual country where everybody has a marketing degree. Imagine how awful that is, because so many of these higher degrees serve like a corporate world, but not necessarily the rest of the world, right? And the idea that we need products that take manual skills, we need services that take manual skills. It can't all just be sitting around a table and brainstorming ideas. You need people who actually do things, and that the education system at this point has moved so far away from getting people ready to do things that it does seem smart to have like more formal training in practical applications, and also just like more pathways for people that want to get into this stuff. Like, there's kids that I'm sure want to get into the world of fashion or be interested in this, but they don't want to go off to like a specific fashion school, or maybe don't even have the money to go off to a specific fashion school. If you're finding ways to make trades interesting and accessible, especially for products like this, that's really exciting.
And I know we felt like we couldn't do it. We can do it with this team. Not even can, because people say, yes, we can. If they really, I don't know.
Gets a laugh from the room.
We will. Good. We gotta be the highest energy brand in the mall. Who's got the most energy in the mall? Apple. Respectfully, he's passed away.
So he's talking about you got to be the highest energy brand in the mall. And the Apple stores in the mall are always like hopping, right? There's always people there. There's foot traffic. There's people coming in and out, mostly because people are having issues with their stuff and they have to go to the Apple store. Not necessarily because they want to shop there, but people also do want to see these products in person. When I wanted to buy AirPods, I went to the Apple store just to try them. When I wanted to buy like the Maxes, I went to the store just to try them on and be like, are these really better than the Bose that I've had for 7 years? Yes, they were. It is cool to go to the store and kind of play around, or back in the day, use the internet. You know, that was always fun.
Passed away, so he's not going to be able to draw his attention. No one goes to those scenes. I don't know the last time they lost anything. I don't know what it looks like. Is that interesting? When I slept in the stadium, we were selling $7 million in merch a night. And this is us capped at 50,000 seats. We could have went to 75,000 seats.
He's talking when he slept in the stadium. Remember those days when Ye was just living in a stadium? They were selling $7 million in merch each of those nights. So what, night one, 7 million, night two, 7 million, night three, 7 million. So we're talking $21 million of merch between the three listening parties, and maybe even another 7 million, maybe more, because they were selling STEM players in Miami for Donda 2. But it's pretty crazy to move $7 million in merch in just one night.
People are going to look. People's eyeballs are going to feel passionate and all of that. They're going to look. They're going to see. We're going to provide something consistently right here in the communities by having a collaboration with some black bands that my family shows up to, and then, you know, kids are buying, you know, gap from, you know, thrift stores. It's not going to save the gap. It's not enough.
So he's saying that. I couldn't quite make it out. Maybe you heard it better than me, but something about what I think I'm hearing is that the limited releases that they're doing, that people are buying things, and then sometimes things are showing up in the Goodwill, right? And kids are buying Yeezy Gap kind of secondhand through people that have given it away because it's maybe a little hard to get right now, isn't going to save the gap. So essentially he's just saying the current model of how they're selling Yeezy Gap or what they're doing with Yeezy Gap is not the thing to save the gap. This is not the needle mover. They have to change the approach and the way in which they're working with Yeezy Gap if they want to save Gap.
It's not enough. And I love Gap. I gotta give you guys. It's the third one. Here we go. You have to really give me the position to yay and do what I'm thinking.
You really have to give me the position to yay and do what I'm thinking. The man uses his own name as a verb, and he should. That's fantastic.
I'm gonna have to do what I'm thinking somewhere else, because one thing I'm gonna converge with. If something's killing you, it's actually killing you.
Ooh, that was heavy. I think he said, one thing I learned from Virgil is that if something's killing you, it's actually killing you. Did I hear that right? Like, geez. And we know that Ye's been like hurting over the loss of Virgil. And what he's saying here is, like, Gap needs to support his vision and how he wants to go about this. Otherwise, he's going to take it elsewhere, because if this is so frustrating to him, he can't abide by that. Like, if it's gnawing at him in that way, it's gnawing at him in that way. He needs to do something about it.
We canceled the pre-order of the blue jacket. That's insane. I got 3 million emails over from Adidas, and we didn't use them. That's insane.
Which, I don't know what happened with the blue jacket. He's talking about last year, the Yeezy Gap like blue jacket was supposed to release, and then all of these orders got canceled. And that was something that was really confusing, why the jackets and why things were releasing so piecemeal. And it seems like Ye is even, like, people wondered at the time, is this something where, like, Ye was the issue and Gap's just responding? And now Ye is just being like, it's insane that that happened. Like, what are you doing? And then he talks about how he had 3 million emails from Adidas that he brought over. And I'm guessing these are people that bought things via Yeezy Supply. But I also don't know about the legality of that. Like, if people sign up for a newsletter with one company, are you allowed to just take that information and use it for another newsletter? I'm not sure if that's just Gap being like, hey, we don't want any headaches, or we don't want to be doing that. I know when we started a newsletter for Film Colossus, we were doing one thing with it, and we're gonna shift gears to something else. And I wanted to just port over everybody that had signed up for the previous one. And Travis and somebody else were just like, that's kind of not what you should be doing. That's not as moral or ethical as it should be. So we ended up not, and just had people like sign up organically to the new thing rather than just being like, you signed up once, we gotcha. But yay saying, we had 3 million names and we didn't use them. Like, we could have used them. We should have used them. Maybe Gap has the excuse of like, legally, push up their glasses. We can't. Or it's just fumbling. And I would put it on them that they're fumbling.
That's insane. We sold 14 million hoodies at $80 with no logo on it off of one commercial and never ran the commercial again. That's insane.
I like the rhythm that he's getting into with "That's Insane." So we heard the first one with how am I blanking on it already? I'm already thinking about the next thing I want to say. But he had the first "That's Insane" with the Round Jackets cancellation. Then the second "That's Insane" with the email list. And now he's saying the third "That's Insane" because they ran the commercials for Yeezy Gap just one time, right? We had Yeezy Gap commercials. And instead of continuing to show these, you don't. And I could see the argument that Ye's brand is big enough that you don't need to invest the money into it. Like, should Coca-Cola be paying for commercials in the Super Bowl? Not really. It's Coca-Cola. It's ubiquitous. Why are you even like advertising? People buy it or don't. You putting a commercial out there is not going to convince anyone to drink Coca-Cola. But if my video is glitching, I don't know why that is. It just started doing it for the first time the other day and I still haven't figured it out. But Ye's just kind of in disbelief that you have these commercials that you paid money for. You want people to have awareness that this is a thing that's happening, that this is a brand movement, right? You want to make this a movement and dive in. And it seems Gap is still very hesitant about working with Ye and still trying to maintain some distance from him and the brand. I don't know. It's, the whole thing has been bizarre.
Pierre Boucher, we only win one sample set on the Balenciaga collection. I'm sitting next to Anna Wintour and Cedric watching an Adidas Balenciaga collaboration I knew nothing about. That's insane. We never did a fashion show.
So he's talking about how there was an Adidas Balenciaga collaboration and Ye's sitting there next to Anna Wintour and Cedric. Do you know Cedric? I don't know Cedric, but it sounds like I should know Cedric. And it's just like, we're watching this, like Gap should have been involved. Why wasn't Gap involved? And it seems like there was an opportunity for Gap to be involved and that they never even did a fashion show, which is a way to elevate the brand, right? This isn't just the Gap that your mom took you to when you were 12. This is now the Gap that's doing fashion shows. Look at Adidas. Like, Adidas has not fumbled with Ye. They've seemingly stolen from Ye and are bringing, like, cannibalizing his ideas and making their brand more about what Ye was doing without necessarily Ye's permission. But they have elevated the brand and continue to find ways to elevate it. And it's the same thing with the Kardashians, right? As soon as they got involved with Ye, as soon as Ye started to give them the opportunity to elevate their looks, elevate their reputations in the fashion space, they did. And while there have been some funny missteps at times or some actual like criticism, like Kim in the Marilyn Monroe dress, for the most part, they're now seen as really high level fashion people. And Kim continues to model for and wear these very high quality designs and designers that she wouldn't have had the opportunity with. And it's like, you see how Adidas benefited, you see how the Kardashians benefited, and you saw how Nike fumbled things, and now it just seems like Gap doesn't know what to do. They just seem completely paralyzed by anything that Ye is presenting them with.
That's insane. When we were on the phone with David Simon and Leo said we did 50 stores, he said that's bullshit. He never cursed again. He said we went to let Howard play in tricks on me, and I called Jay Prince to have Scarface perform with him. But when he said 50 stores for Ye, David Simon said, that's bullshit.
I don't know what that means. I don't know who David Simon is, but it seems like what's happening is that they had this opportunity to work with David Simon, and instead of giving him like a whole national rollout, they're just like, in 50 stores, right? We're going to be cautious and just give you 50 stores and roll things out there. And Ye's just like, what are you doing? And I imagine there's a whole overhead to everything, right? If you're putting clothes out in 50 stores, there's a cost to putting those clothes there, like shipping them there, the inventory of everything, the cost associated with just getting the things ready for sale is very high. So you do kind of want to hedge your bets by doing a smaller rollout, seeing how they sell, and then expanding from there. But at the same time, you also kind of sometimes just need to go for it. And Ye, again, is calling out, I think, them not going for
it. That's bullshit. It's like, you guys at the door, and you, it's like, this is the moment. There'll never be an opportunity with a guy like me that cares this much about specifically this brand and has done this up to this point.
If you're wondering why Ye cares so much about the brand, I can't imagine. If you're someone that likes Ye enough to where you're watching this channel and you don't know Ye's history with The Gap, whoo, welcome, sweet summer child, to being a Kanye West fan. You should listen to College Dropout if you haven't listened to College Dropouts already. But I know there are people that haven't. There's fans that came aboard in Life of Pablo or Ye, Kitsy Ghost, Jesus is King, Donda, that are like, I'll get to the older albums one day. Well, Spaceship, a little ditty known as Spaceship, Ye talks about working at The Gap. And he really did. That was one of his first jobs, like early jobs back in the day, was working at The Gap in the mall. And that's why he has such a passion for this, because it's part of his story. It's part of his journey. And he's saying, you're never going to have someone that has my brand recognition, my success in this space, and my eye and creativity and love of Gap, who's going to be willing to do everything that I'm doing for you as not just a celebrity partner, but somebody who's on a mission to make Gap all that it can be. This guy's smiling. This guy looks so unhappy.
Like Tom Brady waking people up at 2 a.m. during COVID, but he went back and he got that ring at that point. And we're the football team. This is our football team. And I'm actually the Tom Brady because them the charge.
Ye is the Tom Brady. Ye loves Tom Brady.
$4,000 for a t-shirt. I'm saying, like, here's cotton, here's seeds. How do we get this thing to $20? How do we go Costco? How do we go Old Navy prices? And I'm there in factories with no heat. I'm there, no security, no heat, no gold watch, no chains. Learning, how do we get this to the high schools? And the high schools, they believe. I said, this is bigger than us, and we shouldn't argue amongst ourselves. But I'm saying, I have to go pull that sword out the stone. You need to believe.
I have to go pull the sword out the stone. Man, what a quote. And of course, Ye would be the kind of person that sees himself as a person to pull a sword out of a stone. I mean, I'm an only child too. I get it. I see myself that way as well.
I mean, they're going to show you faces this way.
He's talking about, like, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Like, I'm going to make this happen no matter what. And I can either put you in my rear view mirror and you'll be like seeing my rear view, if you know what I mean. Or you can be there with me, like going on this journey. So he's essentially laying down an ultimatum of y'all need to get on board with this vision and this momentum and quit dragging your heels, or else I'm gone. I'm going to go elsewhere and just start doing my own thing.
We'll see. Don't fucking clap. You guys are going to need the position. I'm quit.
Can't get it.
No.
Yeah, and people start clapping at the end of the speech, and he's like, no, don't clap. This is serious. You're putting me in a position where, like, I'm ready to quit. Like, this isn't a thing to clap. This is a serious conversation. Let's get serious.
It's not a fucking joke in Virgil's name, in my mama name. I'm telling you what.
And he invokes Virgil's name, his mom's name. This is how serious this is to him. It's not just, oh, let's do fashion. It's like, this is my life's mission. This is like end all be all stuff for me.
This is Sparta.
And that's the end of the video. So it's a 6 minute video, I think, that I ended up stretching to 24 minutes. But you really like get an idea of Ye's vision, his frustrations. And what I can only imagine is Gap's hesitation about everything. And it makes me think of the conversation with Sway back in the day in 2013, the infamous How Sway, right? Where he's talking about wanting to do all of these things and not being able to because nobody's taking a chance with him. Nobody's giving him the opportunity to create and do on the level that he wants. And Sway's like, why don't you just do it yourself? Why don't you? And Ye's like, how, Sway? Like, how? How do you expect me to have, we were just talking earlier about overhead, like the money you have to put in order to get money out. And starting a brand, starting a company takes an investment. And Ye was at the point where we found out a couple years later that he was $53 million in debt. He had just put on the Yeezus tour, which was super expensive as well. And while he was making some money back from the show, it's just he was doing a lot of stuff, investing a lot of money. The likelihood of him being able to start something at scale that was going to have the impact that he wanted just didn't seem feasible to him on his own. And it's what we saw with Yeezy and Adidas, right? The Yeezys, the shoes that are just on the wall behind me, are something where working with Adidas in terms of not just the design, but the development and distribution, like the actual process of making the shoes, that's something that he could only scale because Adidas had the capacity, the network, the machines, all of it. Without all of that, you're wondering what kind of orders Ye is going to be able to fulfill. If you watch Shark Tank, you know that one of the biggest issues that entrepreneurs have is inventory, because having the money to get inventory is often a problem. And Ye at this point may not have the same inventory woes, but maybe like he's a billionaire, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that there's $1 billion in liquid cash available to him right now. So even if he wanted to start doing these brick and mortar stores or putting in all of this, making all of these clothes, you have to wonder what the initial overhead is for that kind of thing and how much jeopardy that would put him in personally to do that. So we're at an interesting crossroad of Ye has been very successful using the model that he was talking about with Sway, in the sense that he got some buy-in from Adidas, and look what happened. It made Adidas a ton more money and Ye a billionaire multiple times over. And now with Gap, you could see how the same thing would happen again. But in each partnership, Ye has found these frustrations, especially as Adidas starts to cannibalize his designs and starts to Ye-ify themselves without necessarily working with Ye, paying him, right? They have started becoming inspired by him and maybe moving past the relationship somewhat. And some would argue, like, Ye has made so much money from that partnership. Is it really, like, does Adidas, is it not, like, somewhat fair? And I would say, Ye probably would say, like, no. No, like, I should still be on the board. I should still have a say. If you want to use what I'm bringing to the table, then bring me to the table. He is the table. And with Gap, like, man, the frustrations mount as there continue to be barriers to what he wants to do. And as he said in the video, he even wanted to do a brick and mortar with Adidas, and they're not moving forward on that. So it's like all the success he's had with Adidas, and they still haven't done the brick and mortar. And then the initial success we've seen with Gap, and they still won't do the brick and mortar. And is it because it's a bad business move? Oh, who knows? But it's just, why not give this man the opportunity? So it's like, even when he's working with these huge brands, we're still seeing the limitations of him being beholden in some degrees to what they're doing, or limited in the power that he has with the company to do what he wants to do. Even if they tell him, sure, we'll do it, they don't. So now it makes me just think back to what Sway said, saying like, do it yourself. And is Ye in a position now where he can say, yeah, I'm going to do it myself? Is the post that he made talking about opening this store in Atlanta and moving these stores outside of Atlanta to other cities, other countries, the world, is that the next step, right? Ye doing it himself with everything he's learned and the network that he now has and the backing that he now has, like, he doesn't necessarily need Gap or need Adidas. He can do more targeted, specific partnerships. Like, this is a text message from the owners of Lids reaching out to him about doing retail. Like, could he do a strategic partnership with Lids that eases the burden on him, but still allows Ye to have a lot more control in terms of what's being done? So instead of him working for these larger companies, he's now having these larger companies work for him. So that's it for this video. Until next time, stay wavy and keep it loopy. Cheers.